Please open your Bible to the book of Galatians. And we're going to continue in our Traveling Light series. And the message today is entitled The Plain Truth. And some of you might know that that is the title of a popular magazine from some years ago that the Worldwide Church of God used to put out. I don't know if they still do or not. But one of the things you'll know is if you read that magazine, there was nothing terribly plain and there was not a whole lot of truth in it. But that was what they entitled it. And one of the most frequently used terms that you'll find in church circles is the term the gospel. Okay? If somebody was to ask you to define the gospel in half an hour or less, do you think you could do it? Okay, how about 15 minutes or less? Okay, how about a minute? Do you think you can define what the gospel is in just a few words? Well, according to the George Barna Research Group, who did a poll on this, less than 4 out of 10 adults knew how to define the word gospel. They didn't understand truly how to define what the gospel is. Now, I'm not talking about church people. I'm talking about general population. 37% knew what the gospel was. Okay? 34% had an idea of what the gospel was, but their perception of it was inaccurate. In other words, their definition wasn't right for what the gospel was. And if you know your math, then you know that approximately 3 out of 10 adults didn't even give a guess. So we got some people that knew, some people that had kind of a foggy idea, and about a third of the people had no idea what it was at all. And we're talking about modern-day America here. You'd think that everybody would know. Well, the Barna Group also polled people that went to evangelical churches in the United States, and you'll be happy to know that the percentage of evangelical Christians who knew what the gospel was a little bit higher. That is roughly 60%. Which means that 40% of the people that attend churches just like this one, you know, and go to Sunday school and hear, you know, preaching on a regular basis, didn't have an idea what the gospel was. Now, does that blow your mind a little bit? It might, if you didn't realize that 57% of all seminary graduates in 2014 did not believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. That's over one half of the preachers and pastors that came out of seminary last year do not believe that the Bible is truly the Word of God. Does that shock you a little bit? So needless to say, there's a problem when it comes to the gospel. A lot of people don't know what it is because it isn't being taught. Okay? Now I know what time it is, and I'm going to try to teach you what the gospel is and what it isn't in the next 20 minutes. But I'm going to try to make this as concise as possible. So let's read Galatians 1, verses 6 through 10. That's Galatians 1. Paul says, I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different gospel. Not there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to change the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached to you, accursed be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, accursed be on him. For am I now trying to win the favor of people or God? Or am I striving to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a slave of Christ. So here we are. Paul says that there is a true gospel and there is one that is not, if you read between those lines. And one of the problems that we're running into is in the past 95 years, and I do mean 95 years, there was a popular philosophy that became popular starting back in the 1920s called the postmodern philosophy. And since then, there has been a proliferation of all kinds of new gospels, okay, that have been thrown at people, and people have strange ideas about what the gospel is because of all these strange ideas. There has been this whole New Age belief system that has become even more popular in the last several years, that's been, of course, promoted by movies like Star Wars and Avatar and all these highly grossing movies that will teach you about this force and this God and this whole way of getting connected to it. And it's all a strange gospel. If you pay attention, there's Eastern mysticism, you know, the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Sikhs, and even in the Orient there are the Shintoists and others that believe in these strange religions that you basically pretty much get to invent your own ideas. And the problem is that when God sent His Son Jesus, He didn't send His Son Jesus to promote a bunch of different ideas. What did God the Father send Jesus to do? He sent Jesus to do His will and to redeem. Does that make sense to you? Okay, I hope so. There's a couple of key themes we're going to find as we make our way through Paul's letter to the Galatians. One of these truths is a warning about false teaching. And we have to be very aware of the fact that there are false teachers out there. Do you understand that? If you don't, just turn on the public access station sometime and listen to this Bradshaw fellow and this Leo Biscaglia fellow and Deepak Chopra and all these people preach to you all this human potentialist stuff. And you'll understand what I'm talking about. The other thing is that there are people that fall for this stuff. So number one, there's these false gospels. Number two, people are willing to pick up on it. People are willing to fall for it. We can find freedom in the plain and simple truth of the gospel. Paul says here, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel." Okay, the word that Paul uses here is a Greek word, as thaumazou, which means astonishment. So when he says, "I'm surprised," what he means is, "I'm astonished. I just can hardly believe it." So in these verses we're going to consider today, the Apostle Paul talks about some principles I just want to throw out there at you. And the first of which is, the gospel needs no additions. Do you hear what I just said? The gospel needs no additions. So I'm preaching to a group of people that I believe have an idea what the gospel is. Okay? Do you know what the gospel is? How many of you would say, "I could explain the gospel to somebody in 20 words or less"? Okay, how many say, "I need 25? I need 30. Okay, how many of you would say, "Dear God, help me"? Here's the gospel, folks. Jesus Christ came to die for sinful people. And in Jesus Christ, you find peace with God and eternal life. Ta-da! Pretty simple. So what's the gospel? Well, I'll quiz you on it later. Okay? Note here, Paul says that there are these false teachers. "I'm amazed that you are so quickly turning away from Him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to change the gospel of Christ. Note that these false teachers are not denying the gospel. They're not saying the gospel isn't true. They want to improve the gospel. You've got your gospel? Well, here's the new and improved version of the gospel. How many of you need a new and improved version? I need a new and improved one. One with a better looking bottle. One with a different scent. Well, there are people out there that are going for a gospel called Christianity Light. You know? Christianity Light means I want something that makes me feel blessed and warm inside but doesn't challenge me. It's as if they're saying, "We believe in Jesus Christ, but we have something wonderful to add. And here is this thing that we want to add." And this group was known as the Judaizers. And they were telling people that it was great to have Jesus, but if you really want to be saved, then you need to be circumcised, and you need to follow the Hebrew ritual sacrifices and feast days, and You need to add all these other things to it. So if you want to be saved, it's okay to have Jesus, but if you really want to be saved, you've got to follow all these rules. We got a whole bunch of rules and regulations for you to follow as well. So actually, what they were viewing here was not a better gospel, it was a distorted gospel. Because the truth is, if you want to know how you get saved, you are saved by grace through faith, apart from works. There are no works involved, lest any man should boast. Amen? Okay. So what they viewed as a different gospel is actually a distorted one. If you were to read this in the New Living Translation, one of my personal favorites, Paul says, "I am shocked at your turning away so soon from God, who in his love and mercy called you to share the eternal life that he gives through Christ. You're already following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You're being fooled by those who twist and change the truth concerning Christ." Folks, if anybody tries to add rules and regulations to the gospel in order to make you really saved, they are not giving you the good news at all. It's a counterfeit. Do you know what a counterfeit is? What's a counterfeit? A counterfeit is a look-alike of something, but it's actually worthless and phony. Okay? That's a counterfeit. A look-alike that is worthless and phony. Last Christmas, my wife and I came into contact with exactly what a counterfeit is. Okay? She needed some Christmas shopping money. She wanted to go out without me for Christmas shopping. And whenever she goes out without me to do Christmas shopping, it's good news. Because it means she's shopping for me, right? And so she goes out and she says, "I need some money out of the bank." I went to the bank, I got out a little bit of money, gave it to her to go Christmas shopping with, and I get a phone call on my cell phone. I don't know what to do. This is the long and short of it. She didn't say those words, but I'm going to just kind of Reader's Digest version. Oh, she was upset because she went to pay for something and the store rejected it. They rejected the money that she gave them. They have these little scanners now that they'll put the dollar bills under, and it rejected it. And she says, "What should I do?" Well, I had visions of the Secret Service coming and taking my wife away. I'm thinking, my word, they're going to take her away, and my goodness, they're going to, with Brother Rice and Beans face, they're going to deport her. They're going to do all these things. And so they were good enough to say, "Well, here, you just take it back." And she paid with a different method. She came back home, handed me the dollar bill, and what do you think I did? I went to the bank. I went to the bank. I said, "Do you realize that what you gave me here is a phony bill?" "Well, how do you know you got it from here?" I said, "Because you're my bank. Where do you think I got the money from?" And they scanned it. They said, "Well, we have no idea how this happened." I said, "Oh, well, I don't care what happened. You make it good. And please, don't ever do this again." I said, "If my wife got taken away by the Secret Service, you guys would be sorry." You kind of see the point I'm getting at here? What is a counterfeit? It's something worthless. It's something phony. And there ain't no store in America that wants you paying with Monopoly money. Not only that, folks, if somebody brings you a different gospel, it is phony and it is worthless. It's good for nothing. So how do we know if a religious leader or teacher or organization is teaching the wrong thing? Well, I'm really glad you asked, because I'm going to give you how you can know. Okay? So all of you theology students out there, listen closely. Any false religion or teacher will run aground in one of these areas. Okay? You know what I mean when I say run aground? Like a ship that gets beached. They run aground in one of these areas, if not both. Number one, they will claim to be in harmony with historic Christianity. Okay? Are you listening? They will claim to be in harmony with historic Christianity and the Word of God, but they will either deny the sufficiency of Jesus or the deity of Jesus. So if anybody ever comes to you and says, "I have got the truth," okay, and the truth is that Jesus isn't really God, or that Jesus really isn't sufficient to save you, you are being taught inaccurately, and you should not listen to that teacher anymore. Hear what I just said? How do I know if a group is a cult group or not? Here it is. It is a group, or it is a person or a group of people who follow the teachings of an individual who denies the sufficiency or the deity of Jesus Christ. You take a look at every major religious cult of our day, and they fall on ground right there. Either they'll deny the sufficiency of Jesus or the deity of Jesus. Okay? Any false religion will go for one of these two things, or maybe even both. They may look like the real thing. They may sound like the real thing. They may be even use a Bible to give themselves credibility. But the truth is, if anybody should ever come to you and deny that Jesus is enough, don't listen to him any further. If there's somebody that comes to you and says that, well, yeah, Jesus is enough, but he's not really God, don't listen to them either. Have nothing to do with them. Am I making myself clear? Okay. Not only does the gospel not need any additions, but secondly, distorting the gospel is serious business. I want you to hear me very clearly. Because when I get up here to preach to you on Sunday mornings, or teach on Tuesdays, or teach again on Wednesday nights, I have to be very sure that what I am teaching is the truth. Because if I am in error, it's serious business. Okay? You can disagree with me on things like how hot hell is. Is it 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit or 8,000? You can disagree with me and all that kind of stuff you want, but if I teach you anything other than Jesus Christ crucified, died, resurrected, and coming again, I am a false teacher and you should not listen to me. As a matter of fact, you should fire me and burn me. You hear what I just said? Hey, that's what it says. You read the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7 and chapter 10. What should you do with a tree that bears bad fruit? You cut it down and you throw it into the fire. Boo. It gives me chills just to say it. Honest to God, it does. Because it speaks to the fact that there's a huge responsibility in it. Verse 8 says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than that which we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, a curse be on him. So Paul here is invoking a curse. And this is the strongest language that you'll ever hear Paul use. And the reason why I say this is because what's translated in English is not as sharp as it's intended in the Greek. Here in the Holman Contemporary Standard, it says, let them be accursed. Okay? But what if we read it in the original languages? What would it sound like? Well, I'm going to tell you in just a minute. But what do you think the Mormons would be today? That is the Latter-day Saints, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Even the Reformed LDS Church. Where would they be if Joseph Smith, their founder, had never listened to an ersatz angel named Moroni, who appeared to him one day and said, all of the religions of the world are wrong. They're all wrong. And you must find yourself a new religion and preach to Joseph Smith a different gospel. What would the Mormons be today if they had, instead of listening to him, had read Galatians chapter 1, where it says, even if an angel comes to you and preaches a different gospel, let them be accursed. And here it is, Joseph Smith listening to an angel, quote unquote, telling him that all of the faiths of the world are corrupt, that he's to start his own. A movement that became known as the Mormons. A word, by the way, that if you know Chinese, the word Mormon means female demon. Paul is saying that the real problem of another gospel is not only is it a bad idea, and not only does it lack power, but it is dangerous. As a matter of fact, if you look at the translation, and you were to go through the original languages, and I want you to be prepared to be shocked because of what Paul really says here. Because what Paul really says here is this, and this is, if you would read it in the original Greek, more what it would sound like. If anyone comes to you with another gospel, let him be damned. Now, some of you are going to go home and you're going to be more shocked that I use the word damned than anything else that you're going to hear this morning. But that is what the Scripture says. And there is a proper usage for that word. And when it means that you are condemned by God, you are damned. Not like the curse word we use. But it goes on to say, and if you read it correctly, not only does it say, let that false teacher be damned, but also, if you believe in it, you will be damned too. This isn't good. Because what's it saying? We need to be very, very careful about distorting the gospel. I kind of wonder about the people that followed David Koresh over in Waco, Texas. Remember that? That died in that fire? I kind of wonder about people who followed Marshall Applewhite. Anybody remember Marshall Applewhite? He formed a cult called the Heaven's Gate cult. Remember them? Remember the Hale-Bopp comet? Okay, back in the 90s, this comet came across the skies. Kevin could probably tell you all about this thing. But these people believed that there were aliens following in the tail of the comet, and the idea was for them to get in commune with them, and the way that they communed with them was through prayer and suicide. And they all killed themselves trying to commune with the aliens following Hale-Bopp's comet. I know, sounds crazy, right? Then why did they believe it? Why is it that there are millions and millions of people following religious cults of our day? Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, all groups that distort the gospel. Why do people follow them? Because they're counterfeits. And counterfeits look like the real thing. They sound like the real thing. I guarantee you that bill that my wife got passed by her husband, who got it from the bank, smelled like the real thing. Folks, I held it up to the doggone light and it had the thread going through it like it's supposed to have. But it was still counterfeit. It looks like the real thing. It smells like the real thing. It sounds like the real thing. And I'll tell you something. There are people today that are following false teaching because it looks like the real thing and it sounds like the real thing and it feels good. What groups am I talking about? Well, there is a modern false teaching out there that deals with the desires of a materialistic society and promises health and wealth and prosperity if we just have enough faith. I'm not going to name names, but I know a guy named Joe who had a problem with his body. He began to lose bodily function. His legs stopped working. Okay? He started to get weak in his lungs, and the people in the church that he went to said, your problem is lack of faith. If you had enough faith, this would all go away. He went from crutches to a wheelchair, and the people in his church kicked him out because he didn't have enough faith. He ended up without a body of believers to support him because they said, there's obviously sin in your life. And we can't have that in here. So they kicked him out. His name was Joe Seguin. He lived in Lancaster. And he would come to visit me, and he would bring his wheelchair up to my front steps, and he would fall out of his wheelchair and crawl up the steps and lay on the porch and knock on the door. And I would come to the door, and he would say, would you pray for me? And I would pray for him. And I want to thank the Lord because eventually he became acquainted with the real gospel. And before he passed away from his diaphragm and lungs becoming so weak, he knew Jesus. All the health and wealth and prosperity gospel that he had thrown at him didn't do him any good. It just made him more desperate. The message of this gospel is what we call Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is God. Any other teaching is accursed. I'm going to move right on to point number three. Point number three is only Jesus saves. Back in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 1, he says that it is Jesus who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Only Jesus saves. Am I making myself clear? Okay, some of you are nodding, and I'm afraid it's because you're falling asleep. Nod a little harder so I can hear it. Okay? Only Jesus saves. You believe that? Look, if you don't believe it, folks, and if you think there's some other way, then I need to refer you back to verse 8. And I don't want to do that. So we're going to keep going. As Christians in America, we believe in the freedom of religion. People are free to, you know, practice whatever religion they want. But just because we're willing to believe in freedom of religion doesn't mean that we need to accept that all religions are true. You belong to a denomination known as the American Baptist Churches USA. American Baptist Churches, in their statement of faith, believes in something called soul liberty. Soul liberty teaches that everybody can go their own path in finding Jesus and that the Lord will meet us where we are. Sounds pretty good. Okay? In other words, we also need to defend people's rights to worship as they want. In other words, we need to defend the right to freedom of religion. This is all part of soul liberty. But if I believe in freedom of religion, does that mean I have to believe that all religions are equal? Well, no. I don't have to believe that. You know why? Somebody say, because it ain't true, preacher. Just because we have to believe in freedom of religion doesn't mean that we believe that all religions are correct. And I'm here to tell you this morning that when it comes to faith, not all roads lead to Rome. There is one way, and it's only Jesus who saves. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, Luke writing this, said, nor is there salvation in any other, for no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's it. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and only the gospel of Jesus saves. The second idea I want to get across in point number 3 is only the gospel produces real life change. You hear what I just said? Only the real gospel changes lives. When I wrote the sermon several weeks ago, I had a whole list of testimonies that had been given by other people, one of which was an atheist who had been arguing with a Christian and about the testimonies that they gave. But I don't have to preach that, okay? Because you guys are the ones who did the testimonies. And a couple Sundays ago, in case you missed it, several people stood right up here or stood in their seats and told us about how Jesus Christ had changed their lives. And I'm here to tell you that the reason why their lives were changed was through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus changes lives. If you can argue all kinds of points of doctrine, if you can argue all kinds of points of Scripture, here's the one thing you can't argue against. When an individual is here, comes to know Christ here, and is changed and now is here, you can't argue against it. And you heard those testimonies of people saying, this is what my life was like before I knew Jesus. This is how I came to know Jesus. And this is the joy that I have in my life now because of Him. How can you argue that? Jesus changes lives. Amen? How many of you would say that since I met Jesus, He has changed me? What more testimony do you need? How much more proof do you need than Jesus changes things? When we lose the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, we lose the only message that has the power to change lives. So what do we have to do? We have to keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? The gospel of Christ. That must remain our message. That must remain everything that we say, everything we do must be about Jesus Christ. Amen? That has to be it. Our methods are going to have to change. Our methods must change to meet the needs of a changing society, but the message must remain the same. You hear what I just said? Methods change. Message doesn't. Paul says in verse 10, For do I now persuade men or God? Am I here to please men? For if I pleased men, I would not be a servant of Christ. What he's saying is, ladies and gentlemen, there was one truth. There was one truth and the gospel message, and that is that Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of guilty people. That's the gospel. Thank you very much. Class dismissed. The story of Jesus is true. It needs no additions, distorted or serious business, and only Jesus saves from sin. How do you know that's true? Because it works. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus. Thank you that it's true, that there's no need to change it, there's no need to improve it, there's no need to make any additions or subtractions. Thank you, Father, for a Savior like Him. And Lord, as we come now to celebrate Him, as we receive the elements of communion, our prayer would be that You would just fill us afresh with the awareness of His presence. Lord, let His grace not just fill us in this hour, but change us and make us more like Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.